This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Anytime that you like, gonna give you my heart to break. Angel eyes, tell me lies, gonna give you my heart to break. One look at you, I'm powerless. I feel my body saying yes. Where's my self-control? And when you touch me, I'm a fool. This game I know I'm gonna lose. It makes me want you more. Even if it means that I'll never put myself back together, gonna give you my heart to break. Even if I end up in shadows, baby, it doesn't matter. Gonna give you my heart to break. I tried to fight, but you can't help it. Don't care if this is my worst mistake, cause no one else could do it better. And that's why I give you my heart to break. Butterflies, every time, gonna give you my heart to break.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. This is the last show we are going to be doing of 2018. I think the real, for me personally, I think the really special thing about doing this show this year is all the incredible people that we've got to have on the show, all the incredible people that I've been fortunate enough to meet. And I also like to think that of all the guests that we've had, I've actually become quite close friends with some of our guests that we've had on the show. And I'm really, really proud to say that for today's show, I'm joined by four very, very special guests that we have had on the show already this year. And to start this off, I'm joined in the studio by the lovely Jamie Windust.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Back again.
Can't get rid of you. And the, I was going to say the even lovelier. How rude of me.
Oh, my God.
The equally lovely Andrea DiGiovanni.
Hi, everybody. She's back again.
Oh, no, I didn't turn your mic on. It shows that I really don't love you, doesn't it?
You really don't love me.
There we go. Now I love
back
you.
Back again.
So how are you guys doing? How has this year been for you so far?
It's been a bit of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Whenever people ask that, I'm just riding the wave. Mm-hmm. I'll stay at top of the wave. If I crash off the wave, you'll see me fall through the sky. That's where I'm at.
If you fell through the sky, there'd be a lot of glitter and sequins all over the place, I feel.
Everywhere. it's been amazing. It's been really, like, coming back, it's really nice to kind of think when I was first here and kind of to plot the things that have happened since. So it's a nice milestone to be back.
Well, I think that's the incredible thing about having you both here right now is that when you both came in, you were both kind of, you know, starting out on new projects and new exciting things, and seeing how far you've come and how much you've grown in even, what's it been, 6 months maybe since you were both in here?
So
Jamie, obviously you had just launched Fruitcake magazine when you were here, and now that's been everywhere. I can't move for seeing that bloody magazine.
Yeah, and I mean, Andrea,
that's how we met.
Andrea's in it.
Oh, this is how you met?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. We now live spookily close to each other, don't we?
Yeah, we bump into each other every time.
All the time. so that's gone really well. And I'm just now, like, uni's out the way and I'm just flying on my own accord, which is a hilarious way to live. It's a very millennial way to live.
So it's a nerve-wracking way to live, surely,
it's
now and then.
Stressful way to live.
Stressful way to live.
But it's great.
And you, Andrea, when you came in, you were talking about doing your music. And I think, did you just release your new song?
Yeah,
was it an EP or was it a song?
No, I think it was a single.
Single.
I released a single. And from there on, so many things have happened. I managed to get featured in BuzzFeed, Clash Magazine, Gay Times as well. Performed at Pride in London main stage, which was absolutely great. And also, I got my first print magazine with Jamie over here, which was such like a to do, which is so great. And there's so much coming for next year. I'm so excited. I've got some new music coming end of January, then end of February, and in March. So every 4 weeks I'm going to be releasing some music.
Oh, that's incredible. That's a lot.
Yes, but been working for the longest time. It's never easy when you have to sort of like step back a moment, sort of like let your team do what they're good at, because obviously I've been doing it DIY most of the time. So I always knew what I was going to release, when that was going to happen. This time instead, like, my team was like, let us work. And I was like, I hate you. it's terrible, because it's that moment where you sort of like sit back and have to wait.
Yeah.
Which is great. Sometimes you have to do that, because it also makes you see new strategy or makes you see things in a slightly different way than you were doing before. But definitely, I'm so excited. I cannot wait.
Oh, I'm so excited for you. I feel like I owe you a minor apology as well. because when you were in here last, and if you go back and listen to the episode where you were on last, I promised you about 15 times that I would be front row and center for your performance at Pride in London. I was not front row and center. I don't think I was anywhere near the vicinity. I had a few too many beverages and got carried away with myself, which is a pretty standard behavior.
So good. We love you anyway. That's good.
But I have loved, and I mean, again, for both of you, I have loved seeing everything. And I think one really exciting thing for me, Andrea, was I follow a Spotify playlist. It's a huge Spotify playlist called Out Now.
Yeah.
And it features, you know, LGBT plus musicians from all over the world. And you were just basically stuck in there forever. And
I think you're still in there. I'm still in there. Yeah, that was so great. Honestly, I was gagged when that happened. I literally phoned my manager. I was like, I got totally crazy. And especially because it's good to see some Italian representation as well from my country. There's not many people out there doing it.
Yeah.
And the government, it's quite conservative and far right wing at the moment. So it was so great to see that, you know, somebody that comes literally from nothing and working hard, at the end of the day, you still can get there. And I think that's such an important message to say to all the other people out there. Mm-hmm. It's not about labels so much anymore. Mm-hmm. You can do great music by yourself. You can connect with great people, you know, such as Jamie, and then start to these collaborations, and then, you know, sort of like support each other so much that then we both succeed at the end of the day.
I love that, especially about, you know, the queer community. A lot of the time I do feel like we are a family, and, you know, the fact that you two have been collaborating, you've both been on the show, etc. Like, I feel like It's incestuous, but in a good way.
Yes.
Like, good
yes.
incest, that's yes. not a thing. That's, yeah. Don't say good incest on the radio, Callum. Jesus Christ. We do have a button in the studio that I'm supposed to press if I say anything that I'm not supposed to say. So let's see if we can get to the end of the show without pressing that button. You both were telling me that you have exciting things for the new year, and I know you probably want to keep a lot of that under your hat. But Jamie, is there anything that you can share as of yet? Anything bubbling away?
The big thing that I'm doing next year for LGBT History Month is I'm doing
Ooh.
A speaking tour.
Ooh.
Which sounds very official, but it's also not, because it's me and I everyone, whenever I get booked to do speaking, I'm always like, my only questions are, can I swear and can I chat awfulness?
Yes. Well, yeah. Well, you're definitely at home here at FUBAR then.
Thank you. You're correct. You taught me well. So yeah, that's going on in February. So I'm going around like universities, brands, kind of organizations that need a bit of kick up the ass.
That's incredible.
Wow. And which is going to be hilarious.
And because it's for LGBT plus History Month, will it have like a slant on that? Like, will you be talking yeah. about like non-binary people throughout history?
Yeah, absolutely. And talking about kind of the things that a lot of... It's good to speak to young people, because a lot of young people sometimes, especially in the queer community, get on board with what's happening right now, but they don't necessarily look back and think, how did we get here? So I'm just going to educate the children a bit.
I love it.
Children educating children.
How do you feel about when... I kind of feel like there's this thing. Whenever we're talking to younger people about anything queer, anything LGBT plus, I feel like there's this massive like panic. Everybody go, and I think it's probably a lot to do with like the over-sexualization of LGBT plus people. You know, whenever we try to talk about anything, even the most harmless, inoffensive thing, you know, two people loving each other or a person expressing themselves, people freak the hell out. What do you think about that?
Yeah, because last time when we were on, it was literally the day Genderquake was about to go out.
Oh, yes, yeah.
And actually, last night I watched a program on that channel.
that channel, sure.
It was about trans children, and the whole program was just kind of focused on, like you say, the fear mongering and the kind of terror that these people have about trans children when it's absolutely, you know, not scary to have a trans child. I was having a conversation with the other day about what to get like young children for Christmas. And I was like, oh, I know an amazing, like, author who does same-sex children's books. And they were like, oh, it's a bit much, isn't it?
Oh, for God's sake.
They were like, do you not think it's going to be a bit explicit? I was like, well, this children's book's not going to contain anal, so it's...
Yeah, right. I think it's fine. I think it's probably okay.
Absolutely fine.
Jesus Christ. I was gonna dive into the whole GRA reform thing this year, because I have so much to say about that. Very quickly, I'm interested, did you get any kind of hate or abuse around that? Because I even tried speaking out, you know, as a cis man, I just tried speaking about it. And I got flooded with transphobic comments.
Yeah. Do you know what I did? I got quite a few, because I wrote about it for, like, the press.
Sure.
It was kind of... people who weren't in my immediate circles who would then attack it. But I'm pretty sure that the government are doing another one in January specifically for non-binary people.
Yeah.
Because they receive such a huge influx of non-binary people in the huge GRA that they're like, right, we need to do something with this.
Separate, yeah.
So hopefully it's going to actually accumulate to something. At that time, especially for like trans press, it was a very turbulent kind of... jungle.
I feel like in general the past couple of years the press in general has been a bit of a jungle.
Yeah, absolutely. wild.
Yep. And Andrea, I know you already mentioned you're going to be releasing, what was it, a song every 4 weeks?
Yes.
That's insane.
Yes.
aside from that enormous project, do you have anything else exciting coming up?
Yes, I have a great interview. I cannot tell you where,
but it's
quite a big radio station.
Ooh.
So, which I'm going to be talking about heteronormative standards within the industry.
Amazing.
And also sort of like starting to give back a bit to our trans community, within our community, because that's one of my points. It's actually one of my first songs. I can say that it contains a sample from one of the Four Mothers of Stonewall. And the message that I'm basically trying to say is that it's about time that we give back to the trans community, because sometimes, especially cis white gay men, tend to forget that the reason why they can live their life so freely is because those people were there fighting for them. And
absolutely.
Sometimes I feel this goes really... even the media doesn't really focus much on that, and it's more about... you know, I see a lot of, like, again, hate. It's negative press when it's there. And it doesn't do any good. And then especially if you look into the European sort of like section of things, there's no talk whatsoever. And even when I'm back home in Italy and I try to sort of like bring the concept to my family and friends, it's so hard and it finds a lot of resistance. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem is its core. Of course, when you go into European countries and stuff, religion is a huge matter over there.
Definitely.
And especially Catholic religion when it comes to Italy. So it's all very binary. And actually everything changed, even when it comes to sexuality. It changed when those missionaries went around and starting to preaching things, because right before that, I come from classical studies, so late in an ancient Greece, like, those people
were wild, tearing at each other.
Bath, I mean, house. Exactly. They had a lot of fun.
I'm familiar.
And they were quite public with it as well, because I translated loads of stuff. So you know what I mean? I feel like it's about time that we give back to the trans community.
I think that is such an incredible testament to both of your characters that I've asked you about, you know, what you two have planned for the next year. And both of you have told me that you've got these amazing projects that aren't, you know, just about yourself. They're about, you know, raising up other people, talking about other people, giving other people a platform. And I think that is so unbelievably important. And you've actually given me the perfect segue, because that is what we're going to be discussing with Michelle and Alexis in just a moment. So we are going to have you guys come back in and join us for a little bit of fun later on. But I've got one last little treat for you guys. Ooh. And that's, we're going to be playing a little bit of your song,
yay!
Andrea. Oh, and also you're trying to get 100,000 plays on Spotify.
Yes, 100,000
streams. I'll do it because it's my shower song.
There you go.
Not in a weird way, but it's
so this is Shame Resurrection, and if you do like this song, and I know you are going to love it, do go and stream it on Spotify afterwards. To death, stream it to death. This is Shame Resurrection by Andrea Di Giovanni.
Why am I feeling like this? 'Cause I forgot how to breathe. A storm of angry voices screams at me. I lost my way. I'm blind, I can't see.
Fate, protection.
I'm now joined by the absolutely beautiful Michelle Ellman and the also beautiful. I keep almost like saying one of you is more beautiful than the other. That's not a nice thing to say.
It's true. One of us has been on a 24-hour flight from Australia.
And one of us has been on a train from Manchester. So you're beautiful
you've,
all in the room.
You've both travelled here. And we have Alexis Court here as well. I wanted to pick up a conversation that I was just having with Jamie and Andrea. And that was about kind of using our platforms and using our voices to give other people a platform. You know, I feel like all of us here are a minority in some way. But I think even if you are a minority, there are other minority groups that we need to look after. And it's about looking after not just yourself and your people, I guess, but everybody. Michelle, I think you talked about this on Instagram recently.
Yeah, actually the reason behind that post was I was getting really annoyed with a lot of thin, white, straight, cis bloggers retweeting about diversity and like doing posts and then getting loads of retweets being like, yeah, no, like we should be diverse. And I'm like, I bet when you get invited on a panel, you don't check whether it's an all-white panel or you check whether, if it's a fashion panel, there should be a plus woman on the panel, and they don't check that. And it's just annoying when they get so much praise for it online. And so what I was saying is, like, from a practical perspective, if you get asked to be on a panel, check there's a woman of colour, check there are different people of different, like, gender identities, check that it's diverse and that it's not on the diverse people to make sure that there is diversity. And I think that's the problem as well, is that I've had so much criticism going on panels and people being like, well, why didn't you make sure there was a black woman on the panel? And I was like, because sometimes when I turn down events, and that's what I used to do, I turn down events if I feel like the token. That's what I used to do like 2 years ago. They replace me with a thinner version, they replace me with a whiter version, or they go ahead without me, and then it's an all-white, all-thin panel. So I stopped declining them and started saying yes to them, and then on the stage I will actually be like, for example, there should be disability represented on this panel, and I'll say things like that.
That's brave as well, I think.
Well, it's a risk, because it means I might not get hired back, and I know that, and I know I'm taking that risk, but at the same time, if you've hired me, you know that's what I stand for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really, I think I've been, you know, guilty of this in the past, where I've not done my due diligence, I guess, and not looked into who the other panelists, etc., are, and then turned up and realized, oh, I'm on a panel entirely of white people, or a panel of entirely men, or cis people, or whatever it is.
I'm not perfect either, and I did say that in the post. Like, I'm not perfect either. Some people pull out. Sometimes you get emailed that you're going to be on a panel with two other people, and then you turn up on the panel, it's five different people. Things like that happen, and being this side of the industry, we all know that stuff happens. But it's actually not too late to mention it once you're already there. And, like, I hated that part of it, because I was like, I know people are going to go back and look at my panels, and I was like, oh, well, you're the only woman of colour there. You're the only plus person there. And it's because I, like, didn't check. And sometimes I don't. Sometimes in a rush, I didn't check. Like, that's on me. But at the same time, you can then pull someone to the side at an event, be like, hey, I noticed there's not much diversity in the room. Like, you might want to fix that for your next event. And it doesn't need to be confrontational or combative. You can just suggest it. And hopefully, if they're good at their job, they'll do something about it.
Totally. And Alexis, you must, I mean, with your community, for instance, because I know you go to such lengths to make sure that that's inclusive and diverse.
Yeah, so when I was, so as part of my podcast, we did five live shows in London where we had panel discussions where we were looking at big topics, and it was difficult, but I'm really pleased to say that we had total gender and racial equality on there, and it wasn't just a case of like, oh, well, tick that box. It's because if you have everybody who comes from the same background, who has the same lived experience, you get the same conversation over and over again. Yeah. And I think that's what we're guilty of as a society, of kind of like sticking to the same repeated and safe scripted conversations around things. So if we look at panels around diversity in the city, it easily goes to gender diversity, because that's the easiest safe space, because then the majority of white people who work in the city can be like, oh yes, we should have more women in the workplaces. Well, actually, what about people from different economic backgrounds? What about people from different racial backgrounds? What about people from sexuality? What about people with disability? And it's just trying to expand your understanding. We've only got like one shot at this life. Yeah. And if you're literally just reading the same story and listening to the same story over and over again, why?
But also when it comes to social media, if you get the same influencers or the same type of influencers, you're getting the same audiences. And that's the other thing that people, like, it's just bad sense when it comes to like businesses, because I'm like, you're getting the same audience. Like, they're more likely to be following very similar looking people. You branch out to different looking people, you'll get different audiences.
And also, I think, well, the algorithm and the companies that behind all these things, they do want us all to just follow the same people.
Yeah.
And so that's why you have to make a real conscious decision to not just look at that recommended page, because it's going to recommend you people that you already like, or the people that you're similar to who you ever follow, and you're not going to get any new and external influences here. And I talked about this a little bit when I was on the show last time, but I think that's how we've ended up in such a polarized and segregated society. If you look at how the world is going, people are moving further apart from one another, and it's because we end up in these little
echo chambers.
Absolutely. In these echo chambers, like, whatever political party you belong to, anytime there's an election, you're convinced that your political party is going to win because everyone around you know is saying, out and voted for whoever they are you voted for, because that's your echo chamber and that's what the algorithm wants you to believe.
I actually saw something today, because obviously there's a lot of stuff in politics happening today, and I saw someone tweet out being like, oh, I feel sorry for Theresa May, and then ended up deleting it because she was getting so much hate for it, and she wasn't part of the
Conservative. I think I liked that tweet.
Yeah, and it got deleted because she was like, and I was like, that's so sad that, like, she wasn't even saying she agrees with the party or that she's part of the party. In fact, she was saying, like, she actually did say she wasn't, but that she just had sympathy for her as a human and as a person.
It's a difficult job, what she's trying to do.
Yeah, and it is a difficult job. No one would want
I mean, she has also been personally responsible for the Windrush scandal, for the, like, degradation and death of lots and lots of people with disabilities. The thing is, I have minimal sympathy for her, but I understand the sentiment behind it.
The thing is that the point wasn't actually wanted to tweet that, and that she removed her opinion because...
And we censor ourselves. Yeah. And again, but this is the thing where people... We have this horrible call-out and cancel culture, and that's just making people learn less, because everybody is so concerned with having to say the right thing for fear of misstepping and getting called out or shamed or publicly attacked, that no one's prepared to make mistakes or prepared to say that they don't know anything, and so we stop learning.
There are so many conversations that I want to have online all the time. Often, you know, something, it may be rooted in my own miseducation, my own ignorance, for instance, and it's not necessarily down to me not doing the research. I might, you know, topics aren't black and white, you know, there's a lot of grey area, and sometimes I'm like, I'd really love to open this question up to my community and have a conversation about it, but I'm like, you know, when things borderline on the controversial or the, you know, problematic, as people love to say, you're often unable to have those conversations. And I think call out culture, cancel culture is responsible for that. It's stopping people having a dialogue.
And I think there's Twitter has been great, and social media has been great for educating people and giving people a platform to be outspoken and share things. But also, I think it's, and I say this as a young person still, I think it's given us, a lot of young people, an arrogance where actually you're like, we really don't know as much as we think we do.
Yeah.
And sometimes we need to actually allow people to make those mistakes. And I think there's a real immaturity to seeing all arguments as right or wrong, as black and white, because that's not how the world works. If you are always waiting for something to be 100% perfect, you're never going to get improvement.
Totally.
That's not how the world works.
And as a young person, I also think there's entitlement as well, that you deserve to have an opinion on everything and that your opinion deserves to be heard. When actually, you can literally just scroll past the post, unless someone's saying like something racist or like, I would say intervene. But if you just disagree, you can just scroll past it and not leave that comment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I think this cancel culture means we're, like, from a confidence perspective and self-esteem perspective, means we're more unforgiving on ourselves.
Hugely.
So when you screw up or you make a mistake, you're like, oh no, like, I'm the worst person in the world. And it's like, well, that's how you're treating everyone else when everyone else is screwing up. So no wonder you're treating yourself the same way.
I've seen some incredible, like, you know, whoever they are, whatever they're passionate about, people who are, you know, going out there doing charitable work, doing great work, doing stuff that they think matters, trying to raise other people up, and then those people making a little mistake, you know, stumbling along the way and then being torn apart by it. And it's like, all you've done is stopped that person doing their work, which was actually benefiting us all. Yeah. And you've decided to cancel them because they tweeted something in 2009 that may have been slightly offensive. But again, people forget the context of, you know, how much time and has changed.
People forget that you don't know everything. So I have a few friends who work in like shelters behind the scenes. They don't talk about it on their page, which I actually think is a good thing, because it's like you should be doing it almost for the right reasons rather than being praised for it. But because they don't talk about it on their page, they just get slammed for not like doing this and doing that. I'm like, you don't know their whole life.
Yes. That's a very good point.
Yeah, I remember back in the days when I was on Twitter, when the Serial Killers Cafe opened up on Brick Lane, loads of people piled in on it saying, this is gentrification, this was terrible, this is awful. Yeah. And I was kind of like, this is an independent company owned by two gay twins who are self-starters from Belfast who've raised this money themselves. They haven't inherited money from their parents. They're paying their taxes. They're paying the London wage. How is that terrible? Why are you going and protesting that? There is a Pret a Manger down the road. There is Barclaycard's office around the corner.
Battles,
they are tax dodging companies. Why are you targeting this? And it's because it's trendy. Yeah. But this one woman singled me out and started having a go at me. I was like, well,
there's always one, isn't there?
But I was like, no, why can't you can support this independent business? She was like, why aren't you supported? Like, why don't you, what do you know about this? I was like, well, hang on, I live 5 minutes down the road and I have lived in this area for 8 years. And also, I work for a charity that's also in this area. Like, you don't, I'm not the person that you're trying to make out. But again, because we can't see everything online and we love to pretend that everything is black and white, it's very easy to paint someone else's other as this bogeyman rather than going, you know what, I've probably got quite a few things in common with them.
But also, once you even get into the conversation of trying to justify your existence by being like, but I work for a charity, it's like, why am I doing this? Why am I having to tell you this private information that I would normally not share online just to show I'm not a bad person?
Yeah. I mean, I actually didn't even mention it because it's like, I was like, no, because that degrades.
It's a losing battle once you have mentioned
it. Yeah. Nobody wins online battles. No. It is just a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
Like,
This is all so interesting and so important, and I hate to cut you both off.
But you want to talk about Christmas? Sorry. No. I've even got my festive cardigan on.
It's time to do another changeover. Alexis, you've had too much mic time. We're cutting you off.
Fine, just me.
I didn't say anything.
No, that was all very, very insightful and very interesting stuff. But it's time for a game.
It's time for some fun. Oh, I was terrible at that game last time.
I'm kicking you out, Alexis. You don't get to play, I'm afraid.
I'm really sorry.
Let's have a little bit of music, and let's have a little bit of Christmas music. So this is a bit of Last Christmas by Wham.
Distance, but you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do
There was a little bit of Last Christmas by Wham. Love a bit of George Michael. Yes. I've got Andrea back, and Michelle is still here.
I am.
Can't shift her. Told her to leave. She refused, so we're stuck with her. We're going to play a little bit of Porn or Not Porn, and as it is coming up to Christmas, this is a Christmas-themed Porn or Not Porn. At least I think so. I've not actually... Yeah, it is. Yeah, I just assumed. I knew my producers would have done that. So we are doing Christmas-themed Porn or Not Porn. I'm just going to remind you both of the rules, and for our lovely listeners as well. Oh, I'm being told it's Christmas movies. They've put it in bold for me because I don't listen. Christmas movies theme. So yes, for any listeners who do not know how this game works, I have 5 sound clips here. Some of them have been taken from Christmas movies and some have been taken from porn. I'm going to pit the two of you against each other.
Yes.
Like, I want a fight. Like, I thought you were going to protest and you're like, no.
We're down.
Yeah, and I'm going to join in as well because I don't know the answers either. Yes. So this is a 3-way fight situation.
Perfect.
Whoever wins gets the prize, which doesn't exist. let's just jump right in. Here is our first porn or not porn. Ooh, squelchy, squelchy.
That was squelchy, really squelchy. Quick. Right. Can we get it again?
Yeah. Hmm. See, I'm thinking
like...
I
wouldn't even say that was squelchy. That's like walking down the street in England with rain.
Right?
Oh, do you think?
Yeah.
I got a little bit of a squelch.
Yeah, I'm confused
at the
now.
End.
There's a kind of
I mean, that
vibe.
Could be a very slobbery kiss.
That's true.
But
true.
It could also be stepping in a puddle.
I was.
You're going to be like walking down to like the sea.
I was thinking like Home Alone, you know, when he like makes all the traps and stuff. I was thinking like something like that. I know I'm going a bit in depth.
Or like a pool?
Yeah. Oh, it could be any number of things.
Right.
I'm going Christmas movies. I'm
going Christmas movie.
I'm going porn, Why not? Let's be different.
Andrea. Okay, so Michelle and I are saying Christmas movies.
Yes.
Andrea is saying porn. Answers, please, lovely producers. It is not porn.
Damn.
This is from Christmas with the Cranks. Luther is struggling to eat because his face is so frozen after he got a lot of Botox. I have not seen that movie.
I've not seen it either.
No idea. But you're a point down, Andrea.
Oh.
See, not I told easy, you, slobbery kiss. But like with
my
food.
Mind is too dirty, I guess.
All right, our next one is...
Let's keep it classy.
Don't fall off your chair.
Enjoyed that one, did you?
let's keep it classy.
Let's have that again.
Let's keep it classy.
I guess it has to be a Christmas movie.
No, this is definitely a trick.
This is porn.
Exactly, this is porn.
Yeah.
Like 100%
I think it's obviously porn, and I'm thinking, so they're trying to do a double bluff on us.
No.
So you two are saying porn?
Yeah.
I'm saying Christmas movie. I'm going against you.
Okay. Right.
Okay, answers, please. Scores on the doors, lovely producers.
That, come on.
It's
porn.
That must have been porn.
It was a quality acting.
So this is a very bang bus Christmas. Some guys pick up a girl and she is meeting Santa in a bus. He has a present waiting for her. It's his dick in a box.
Oh, wait, was that Santa?
Yeah. That was Santa. Would you like to hear it again?
Yes, please.
Let's keep it classy.
I'm just picturing the whole scene and I'm like having the time of my life, I swear.
That's very vivid imagery in my head right now.
Right?
That's ruined like all my childhood memories.
It's okay, I didn't really like Santa before anyway.
That is, Michelle, 2 points to you.
Yes.
And Andrea and I are each on 1.
A disclaimer, I'm very competitive and I'm very happy I'm winning.
Alright, our next one is...
Oh, ho, ho.
Oh, that sounds like either the saddest Christmas movie
right?
I have ever heard. Or some,
or like a Christmas orgy or something.
Yeah.
No, but that could so be like a Vince Vaughn or Will Ferrell, like trying to be like funny.
True.
Let's hear it again.
Oh, oh, oh.
Yeah.
But then the laugh is very
exactly. I'm deceived by the laugh.
I don't know what it is, but it makes me feel sad. It hurts me a little to hear. You know, you're supposed to say ho 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 with so much jolliness.
I mean, is that said with sadness or is it said with sleaziness?
Oh, like a sleazy or taking the piss. Let's have it one more time.
Ho ho ho.
Like, is that a come on? It's like Joey Tribbiani saying like ho ho ho.
I'm going to say Christmas movie.
Yeah. I think I'm going to say Christmas movie as well.
I'm going to say porn because of the laugh.
Okay. So answers, please. Lovely, lovely producer.
Yes! No!
Michelle! It is porn!
Cullen, we're terrible at this.
I know. Three stunning...
I practiced earlier.
This is three stunning, sexy BFFs share Santa's cock in a Christmas...
So it was a Christmas orgy.
Yeah. There's a bigger description, but I don't think we need any more than that. It's three people sharing Santa's dick. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Michelle, you are in the lead. There's 3 points to you, and one each to Andrea and I. We can win this back, Andrea.
Yes, we can.
Should we team up against her?
Yes, let's do it. She's too good.
All right, our next one is...
Come on, baby. Come here.
No, that has to be Christmas. That cannot be Christmas. Porn.
Yeah, that has to be Christmas. It's just too easy to be porn.
If she agrees with us, she can't lose.
Exactly. That's
right. I'm competitive. I know how this works right now.
I wish we were all a team. That would be more in the spirit of Christmas.
No, that is not Christmas. Christmas Day is like Monopoly and hating everyone and throwing the Monopoly board up. So
facts.
No.
That's a fact.
So are we all saying this is a Christmas movie?
Yeah.
Let's have it one more time.
Come on, baby. Come here.
Yeah, it can't be porn. That would be too obvious.
Yeah.
I would say it's like a Cameron Diaz.
Yeah. We're saying Christmas movie. Final answer. It is not porn. This is from Bad Santa.
Who's Bad Santa? Bad Santa has Cameron Diaz, isn't it?
Is it? It's Cameron.
Thurman. Uma Thurman.
Uma Thurman.
Oh, they're the same person.
I'm being told it's the person who plays Lorelai in Gilmore Girls. I don't know who that is.
No, me neither.
moving on. Well, you've
fabulous
won.
Actress.
You've won, Michelle.
Thanks.
But let's do the last one anyway, because Christmas fun and all that.
Oh, yes!
Wow.
I'm going to do that again.
Oh,
yes!
I'm seeing some kind of weird porn.
I don't even know what I just heard.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'm so confused.
That's how I feel usually after I watch porn. So.
Oh, yes!
Like...
Yeah, she's like, wow, yeah.
But
see,
like,
now
what's
I have
echo?
All the pressure because I've got every single one right. I need to get the last one right.
Tables have turned.
Yeah, exactly. No.
Yeah, because it's competition with myself because you guys...
When you were last on, Michelle, did you win? Did we win the game? Did we work together?
I think we worked together.
And did we win?
Yeah. I think we won.
Okay, good.
I just assumed that.
Did you win when we played this?
Well, we did a drag race one, did it?
Yeah.
So, yes, I think.
Yeah, you did. You nailed it.
Definitely did.
Good. All right, let's have it one more time.
Oh, yes!
Ooh, I'm not sure. I'm going to say
porn. If it's porn, it's wild.
I'm going to say porn because of the audio quality.
Yes, I think that's a smart move. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, we're saying porn. We're saying porn. I really hope you get 5 out of 5, Michelle.
Thanks. Oh,
it
no!
It is not!
No!
Wait, I haven't used this sound effect in so long. Oh, it was from Meet the Fockers. This is Greg's mum, Roz, is teaching a sex therapy class. That's not a Christmas movie, Meet the Fockers, is it?
Isn't it?
Is it
Christmas?
I feel like it's not a Christmas movie.
I've definitely watched that movie, though. I can't say I remember that.
Oh, they're home for Christmas. Okay, fair enough. Michelle, you still won that game.
Yeah.
You destroyed Andrea and I, and that's what matters. So congratulations. You win the prize that doesn't exist. You win
Amazing.
Glory.
Amazing.
Glory.
The pride is good.
Glory.
All right, I'm kicking you both out of the studio. I'm sick of looking at you. We're going to get you back to say goodbye at the end of the show. But we're going to have a little bit of music. This is Make Me Feel by Janelle Monáe.
Yeah. Baby, don't make me spell it out for ya. All of the feelings that I got for ya can't be explained, but I can try for ya. Yeah, baby, don't make me spell it out for ya. You keep on asking me the same questions. Why? And second guessing all my intentions. Should know by the way I use my compression that you got the answers to my confessions. It's like I'm powerful with a little bit of tender and emotional sexual bender. Mess me up, yeah, but no one does it better. There's nothing better. That's just the way you make me feel.
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 Uh-huh. So good, so good, so fucking real. Uh-huh. That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
That's just the way you make me feel.
You know I love you, so please don't stop it.
You got me right here in your jean pocket.
Right now.
Laying your body on the shag carpet.
Michelle and Andrea refused to leave the studio, to kick them out, and they wouldn't go. So they're still here, and we have got Jamie and Alexis back. Hi, guys.
Hey.
Missed you. Missed you so much.
It's been so long.
We're going to do some sex confessions now, and I reckon we can probably read one each. This might be tricky. I don't know if you can see over there, Alexis. Maybe
no.
You can come in. Do you want to come over here and read one? You can use my microphone. I'm that generous. Alexis, this one is for you. Oh, okay. Babes.
Hi, Callum. Last week was my work's Christmas party, and after a night of heavy drinking, I stupidly slept with my colleague in the bathroom. I think one of my colleagues may have heard as whispers have started to circulate the office.
Uh-oh.
Scandal.
I feel like it's one of those things. Like I've had sex with a colleague before. I feel like it's always a bad idea. It never ends well. Never ends well.
Facts. Facts.
As a freelancer, I always have sex with colleagues.
I've done something wrong. What's happening? I've broken all my microphones. The producer is coming to save me as she speaks. What have I done wrong, Abs? What? Uh-oh.
No.
Hooray. I fixed it. Don't know what I'm doing. Don't know why they let me work here, honestly. What were we saying? Having sex with colleagues?
I feel like embrace the rumours.
Yeah.
You don't have any other choice.
What does embracing the rumour look like?
Exactly.
Standing on the table and announcing that.
In a sort of like Easy A style protest.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, depends. Is this technically a sackable offence at their work? Do they have like an office liaison policy?
Is that a thing? Like, can you be fired?
Yeah, that's totally
that's like financial industry jobs where it's like you can't sleep with the boss.
Yeah. I think most importantly, just go home. Just go home. Just don't do it in the bathroom. Just go home and do it. Then nobody will know.
That's true. I think that's good advice over there. All right, let's do another one. Michelle, would you like to read the next one?
I recently got into a relationship with a boy I've liked for ages, but he said he doesn't want to sleep together yet. While I respect his decision, I can't help but feel put off by this, as sex is a big part of a relationship for me.
Ooh. This person is living an experience that I had a few years ago. It turned out that my ex was actually asexual.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so like just under 3 years together, guess how many times we had sex?
Zero?
Zero.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And I only discovered this like into the relationship, because at first they're like, oh, I don't have sex outside a relationship. Which at first I was like, oh, that's cute. Like a bit 1940s, but cute. And then it just turned out into, like, no sex ever. So there was a lot of, like, sad cry-wanking in the shower. So I am not judging this person's boy for not putting out up front, but sex is an incredibly important part of a relationship. Mm-hmm. And especially up front, where that's the bit where you really want to tear each other's clothes off.
Well, I feel like you just need to have a conversation about
exactly.
it. Because it could be the case again.
Exactly.
They could be asexual.
Yeah. Exactly. And there is, and obviously there's nothing wrong with asexuality, but you've got to just make sure you're on the same page. So you need to have that conversation.
And I have two friends who are no sex before marriage for religious reasons. One's a guy and one's a girl, and two separate relationships. And both have had experiences where they'll be like 3 dates in or 5 dates in, they'll finally tell them, and then the person will ghost or disappear. And
it's tricky.
And you also, because like they're your friend, you're kind of like, oh, I feel bad, but at the same time, I need sex part of my relationship. So...
But I also feel like you can take time with it, because like if it's like a hookup, like I don't mind, but if it's somebody I like, I'm not saying that there is like a no sex rule, but I'll wait for it. You know what I mean, like I wanted to make it like meaningful and not just like sex, because the thing is, if like we just met, we like each other, you go home, we have sex, I tend to lose interest. Like it's a natural thing for me. I tend to lose interest because like I've known everything about you. What's more,
I don't know, because I think you can have so many different types of sex.
Yeah, true.
And I have, like, so my first boyfriend, who I was with for 5 years, like, we had sex really early on, and we met in a club, and that, I was with him for 5 years, so that didn't change anything. But I think it's about the type of sex that you have. You can have, like, type of sex.
Spice it up.
Well, more kind of like, you don't just eat one thing. Sometimes you have a little snack. Sometimes you have a 3-course meal.
Oh, definitely. All the snacks that you want, honey. Yeah.
Like,
I like midnight that. Snacks.
I like exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely.
I've got snacks in my bag.
Snacks in a church, you know. Go
no back. Having snacks on the tube, though, because that is an offence.
That's naughty, naughty.
Of course it is.
No, they're not actually eating.
No, I mean like no, but if it's an empty carriage, how would anyone
okay? So
know?
Technically,
there we go,
yeah. I'm in
so okay, so on that one, if there is nobody else around, you're fine. So cruising in the UK, which is having sex out in public.
I'm asking for a friend.
Obviously. And I'm obviously only talking from academic experience here.
Of course.
Having sex outside is not illegal in the UK.
Thank God.
Unless there are members of the public or particularly young people around who could be offended and it could cause moral outrage.
Interesting.
So that is
man
it.
Of the law.
And that, so I did study law. And that's why cottaging, which is having sex in a toilet, is illegal, because children can walk in there. Just
not in a gay club, though.
Or a locked toilet.
No, like, if it's in a, like a public bathroom...
Yeah, but a child can't come in a gay club, so can I have sex in a gay club bathroom? Not that I have. Well,
I mean,
maybe
that's why... it depends on if it's a sex on premises location or not.
Yeah, but a child can't go into a straight club either.
Yeah, I know, but I don't go to those places.
Straight clubs are boring.
Yeah, you don't want to go. Like, I don't recommend.
This is the thing, when people talk about, oh, we need safe spaces for LGBT people. Like, I was like, yeah, we absolutely do, because some people like don't, for want of a better phrase, pass... But also, I want to go, and I say that as like a passing for straight person. I don't want to go to straight clubs because they're fucking boring.
They are. They're terrible.
Mm-mm. I mean, I don't want to go, and I'm straight. So.
Exactly.
Like, the worst thing that I've seen is like boyfriend and girlfriends. Like, I went there once, and then there was like all the girls dancing and all the boyfriends standing there like this.
Yeah.
I'm like, what's the fun of that? Like, that is so boring.
Yeah, but trust me, it's a lot worse when they get together and then they just have no boundaries.
Okay, no. Yes, that is true. I don't mind people being straight as long as they do it in private.
Nailed it.
Yeah.
I think we have time for one more. Jamie, would you like to read this last one? If you can see, you can come share my mic if you want.
Oh, go on then.
Yeah, come on over.
Go on then.
Hi.
I'm shy now. Me and my boyfriend are going to a Christmas-themed swingers party soon. Mood.
Good
we'll
on
report
him.
Back.
Ooh, now that sounds like a good time. Like, do you have to wear, like, reindeer antlers? Or, like,
Oh, you know those, like, comedy, like, Christmas pudding jock straps that you can get?
Oh, no, they're horrendous.
Those are so unsexy, but I feel like I'd be the person who accidentally turns up in that, thinking it was a bit of a joke, and then I'm like, oh, you guys are actually serious.
Like, this is a real thing.
That actually brings us to the end of the show. I wish I could have you guys here for like 10 more hours.
Right.
I feel like we're just getting this party started.
Let's lock the door, bar it.
Do it.
You've all been amazing. We've had the amazing Michelle Ellman. Did you say hi?
Bye is more appropriate than
that.
Hi.
Was amazing.
Yeah. And Andrea De Giovanni.
Bye, everyone.
Jamie Windust.
Adios.
Yes.
And Alexis Court.
Bye.
See ya.
Oh no, fuck it.
Thank you to everyone who has listened this year. Thank you to all the guests we've had on the show. It's been so fun having the four of you here today. And to our lovely listeners, have a very, very Merry Christmas. And that's where you say a Happy New Year.
Oh.
Panic.
Sorry, cue us in. Let's do it again.
Let's try that again.
Come on,
media training, guys.
Yeah.
Have a very Merry Christmas and
a Happy New Year.
Hey.
Shine on. Wait another day, 'cause passion is passion. You know it just as well as me. Now let's stop running from love, running from love. Let's stop, my baby. Let's stop running from us, running from us. Let's stop, my baby. My
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.